Will you turn to Jeremiah chapter number 29? Jeremiah chapter number 29. As I said, we are going to begin a new series tonight. We will go to a couple of different places in the Bible, so if you will, keep your Bibles handy. We are going to begin a series on the culture of Christ, the culture of Christ. So Jeremiah 29, verse number 11, verse number 11. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God, we are grateful for your help, your hope, your expectation of what you are trying to do in our lives. As we understand a little bit more about your culture and what it is and how you have formed it for us, may we be people that live according to the ways you've purposed and planned for us. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all may be seated. So in the Bible, we learn that God created a culture for his people. And people say, okay, well, what's a culture? Well, I've got a couple of different definitions here. They all kind of are very similar. A culture is the customary beliefs, social norms, and even material traits of a racial group, a religious group, a social group, and the characteristic features that they carry. It's a way of life. So we will talk in our home a lot about the Southern culture, because we came south of the Mason-Dixon line. And it is different in the South versus the North. Amen? Yeah, it's just a different, it's not that they're not human one place or the other, it's just that they think differently. A culture, according to Baker's encyclopedia, is the set of shared understandings, beliefs, and values that reside in people's minds. And because of that, it behooves us to know what God's culture is and then to make that the way that we live. Now, the culture of the Old Testament is a little bit changed because of Jesus Christ and the cross. But the overall overarching culture is very similar. So we are going to study and learn about the culture of Christ. That is the title of the series. It's our purpose, and we want to make sure that in your life, my life, in our church, that we have a culture of Christ. Now, in the book, and here's the title, A Messianic Jewish Guide to Home Practice, we read that the culture is the personality of a people. And then this book says it must be purged of all elements contrary to the Bible. The culture includes stories, music, celebrations, figures of speech, even our gestures are unique to our culture. And so tonight we're going to begin to understand God's framework for culture and what he's provided for us and then how to assimilate that into our actions. There's a man, his name is Dayton Hartman, and he writes about the culture of Christ. And at one point he was managing a Christian bookstore. And he starts looking at the art, the t-shirts, the music, the books, and he realized that they were copying the culture of the world. He says Christianity became this knockoff of the world. And he says, why would somebody want to be saved and join a culture that looks just like the one they're in? Yeah. Now, when we look at the Jewish people, we realize they are in a post-biblical culture. But so is the rest of the world. The Bible is no longer the basis for how people think and what they think. And the Jews and many others have lost their identity because they don't know Christ. And it's crippled society in many different ways. What we have to think about is, if we begin to assimilate the culture of the world into our church and into our own personal lives, how long before we lose the culture of Christ? And that's why we are studying. So tonight we begin, and with Jeremiah in chapter 29, if you notice verse 11, he says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, thoughts of shalom. That's the Hebrew word for peace. And it means well-being, completeness, and even our welfare. And what God thinks about and what he has put together, as we were kind of saying in Psalm 23, verse 6 this morning, it's for our goodness, for our good in our lives. And when we look at our church, we want to have a culture that honors God, a culture that blesses God, a culture that lives within his promises. It should be a culture where we have personal spiritual growth. It should be a culture where our church grows together. And it's a culture where we support one another. So we want that culture of Christ in us so that we have that spiritual health. So we'll ask ourselves tonight and as we go through this, is my personal culture with Christ spiritually healthy? Is our church spiritually healthy? And are all the members of the church spiritually healthy? So it's kind of like we're going to the doctor. And we're going to have tests run, and there's going to be a diagnosis, an examination, evaluation, and then if needed, a treatment plan. So if you will, back up just a couple of pages to Jeremiah chapter number 24. And we want to look a little bit deeper at defining the culture. And our culture is by our Creator. In Jeremiah 24, verse 7, God says, and I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and they shall return unto me with their whole heart. So he's describing this culture of shalom and what it's going to look like, and he says this, he says, I will give them an heart to know me. So we have to have a heart to know the culture of God. Heart speaks of our desire. What do I want? What do I seek after? And we're not going to have the culture of Christ unless we are truly desirous to have it as a part of our lives. So we have to let God speak to us and move us in this particular direction. And especially to know me, as God said. Knowing him is the heart of our culture. That's what we are. People that are desiring to know God. And the word know there, it means to experience. To not just have head knowledge, but to have heart knowledge through observation and through our senses. And that means that God's culture is lived. We don't just have knowledge, we actually live it out. And only if we have the desire is that actually going to happen. So the culture of Christ will shape our church, our views, our beliefs. And if you think about it, every culture has norms. Think about cowboys. There's a set of norms. There will be a hat. There will be a belt. There will be boots. And there will be Wranglers. Correct? Yeah. It's part of a culture. And it's not like you're, if you wear Levi's, you're not a cowboy. But, you know, many people begin to conform to their culture. Well, our culture is derived from the Word of God. Our culture is derived from God's commandments and God's teachings. So if it is a commandment of God, it is to be part of our culture. If it's not a commandment of God, we want to look at it in light of the culture that God has given to us. When we were in Los Angeles and in Jewish town, there were a number of Orthodox Jews, and if you've ever seen them, they wear all black, they have a white shirt, they have a hat, and longer hair. Well, if you don't know, their rabbi dictates what tailor they go to, what hat they wear, how that suit is tailored, how their hair is worn, all those things. Why? Because the rabbi dictates the culture of that synagogue. And they're choosing to conform to that culture. And culture is not just based upon who is leading your life, but it also has to do with your ethnic community. Now, in some ways, we are and we are not an ethnic community. We still retain our national heritage. Bob Raganti has a pretty good Italian culture. The O'Melias, Brother John has a pretty good Irish culture. Background, right? And that's just part of who we are. But we do have a new culture in many ways. And in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." That word creature is the word for creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And if all things are become new, then even what we were kind of begins to disappear. So what Paul teaches, what Jeremiah teaches, is that in Christ, our entire culture changes from what it once was. Now, of course, our particular culture is the culture of Christ based on our beliefs. There are social norms. There are truths. And it's all famed. It's all formed by the basis of our beliefs. And we look at them, and there are some that are formal, some that are kind of informal, but we know that they all come from God. We learn, then we practice, and we do. So this is not something that's new. And if you will, I'll have you turn back to Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1, because it has been this way from the very beginning, that God was showing people his culture. He taught Adam about having a relationship with him. So if you look at Genesis chapter 1, verse number 27. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." So part of the culture is that we have been made into God's image. "And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So as God began disseminating a culture to Adam, it was a culture of what he was supposed to do as a human on God's new creation. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And God is just saying, I've given you everything, and Adam, I want you to begin to do these things, and then you're going to pass it on to your children, and your children are going to pass it on. And basically, in some ways, we're still doing that to this day and age, aren't we? Yeah. Even before the law of the Old Testament, people were in the culture of the Lord and following it. You think about the worship of Abel. He brought the right sacrifice before God. Abraham tithed to Melchizedek. Abraham was willing to obey God and to offer up his son Isaac until God said, do not. So God had been revealing ever since Adam how to have a relationship with him. And that's what culture is about. It's having a relationship with the Lord. Ours is a relationship of love, holiness, respect, and there's quite a bit of blessing to it as well. And so God created the culture, but he also taught it. And he revealed more and more as time was going on. We have it all at this point, but God has the right to determine what our culture is, doesn't he? He's the creator. He's our maker. And his culture is not meant to be oppressive. In fact, it's just the opposite. And that's why in John 8, chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. By knowing God's truth, we become free. We live for the Lord. We live free from sin. And if you think about it, if that had been followed from the very beginning, this would be a whole different world, wouldn't it? But it also tells us this, that adherence to God's culture has a very dramatic effect on our lives. Because we read the stories of the Old Testament, the New Testament, those that obeyed God, those that disobeyed God, and we see the results, and it really does affect people, doesn't it? And so these lessons are to help us. Now, the culture for the Jews, it was woven into the very fabric of society. And Moses taught in Leviticus 13 about leprosy. And in chapter 13, verse 48, here's what Moses wrote because of what God taught him about leprosy. Whether it be in the warp or woof of linen or of woolen. The warp and the woof is the weave. Now, I can't do that with my fingers right way, but you all know that there's weaving this way and weaving that way in fabric. And what he's saying is that leprosy would get in every direction. Well, the culture of Christ is supposed to get into every direction, the warp and the woof of our lives, so to speak. It's to be weaved into everything that we do. We aren't to think in the way of the world and have the culture of the world. Because if not, we begin to imitate it, don't we? And that's not healthy. And it was so integrated that God, His law, and the people all became one. Now, the difference between the Jews and the church is that the Jews are already God the Father's wife. In Isaiah 54, verse number 5, it says, "For thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called." And they are already married. They're already one. Now, we have been made one through the Holy Spirit. We're not married to our husband yet. We are a bride to be, a bride to Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, it says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." We are becoming united with God through Christ. We have the Holy Spirit in us. And here's the thing. When you ask Christ to be your Savior, not even realizing it at the time, you said, "I'm going to take on the culture of God. My life's going to change." We didn't realize how much it would change, did we? Now, for the Jews, this is normal. When somebody from the outside came into their society, they weren't going to bring all of their ways. They conformed to the culture of the Jews. Now, you know this to be true because think about Ruth, the Moabitess. When she left, she knew that she was leaving her culture behind. She knew that Naomi's God would become her God and that she would have to live according to the ways of the Jews. She had no problem with it at all, did she? She knew exactly what she was going to do and what she was going to become. Now, God began to expand the culture of the Jews, and if you'll turn to Genesis chapter 13, we'll see God begin to open up this culture a little bit more with Abraham. At this point, Abraham and Lot have just separated. Lot has taken off for the well-watered plains of Jordan. And it says in verse 14, "And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." God began to open up a way with the Jews that you and I don't live. And part of their culture was, as they obeyed God, He gave them many physical blessings. If you noticed in these verses, the first blessing was the land. They were given the country of Israel. Now, you can go to Deuteronomy chapter 9 and find out that the reason why God gave the Jews the land of Israel is because of the wickedness of the Canaanites. He wanted them out. He had tried to work with them. They refused to follow God, and he wanted them to be destroyed. And guess what? Now we got a war there today because the Canaanites are still around. Yeah. But he also said this, I'm going to give you many descendants, and they are. As the sand of the sea, you could say it that way very easily. But with land and descendants, there also came wealth, but there were many spiritual blessings as well. And that's where our culture and their culture are very similar. Abraham experienced peace and joy and love and happiness. And that's part of what we experience. Security in our relationship with God. And I know that those things that are intangible, they're not really measurable, but we sure know that they are there. And it causes us to rejoice. It causes us to be excited about what God is doing in our lives and who we are as children of God. It's kind of like being a grandparent. There's joy there just because you are. Amen? There's joy just because you get to have grandkids. And they sometimes they don't even have to do anything. Just the fact that they're alive is joyous. So it's not just our obedience to God. It's the relationship factor that we study, that we learn about. And so as a church, we look at the life of Jesus Christ and we look at his teachings, what he preached, and we see this culture that he brought to his church. And we want to make sure that we are learning the culture, accepting the culture, conforming to it even. And if there are things in our lives, if there's things in our church that are not right, we need to remove those things. Because if a church is successful, it's going to look as what Jesus has taught, what he has provided for us. And that means learning. And it means that sometimes we go through uncomfortable moments. Now I realize this is an introductory sermon and they can be rather boring at times. And we have a little bit more of the foundation that will be settled. We're going to look at the Jewish culture a little bit deeper. The reason why is because much of it is our culture. Then we begin to study the culture of Christ and what it means and how it affects our lives and our church. So if you would, begin to think. What are the facets of the culture that I'm living in? Can I identify those personally? And what makes our church unique? What is the culture of our church? That way we can ask, what do I and what do we get right? And what would God want us to do? To change. And that's part of this study. Like I said, introductory sermons are not always the greatest fun, but they help us to put in the basis of our study. Now we can begin to look at the different aspects of that culture and learn a little bit more about the culture of Christ for our church. God, we are grateful. We're thankful that we can study and for what we will learn. We have what is looking to be a good culture for the people of this church. But there may be things that you want to show us, things that could change, things that could be better, things that would help us to grow closer to you. And we're going to ask that as we study, you would reveal these things to us and that we might change conform, and do as you require. Thank you, God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.